the challenges of integrating hot air balloon flights into an air show that features powered aircraft. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Last week, I talked with Larry Simberger, the director of balloon operations for the Arlington Fly-In in Washington State, about his flying career, including a memorable flight over Mount Rainier. Well, in another conversation, we got to talk about the unique challenges of flying hot air balloons at a show which requires mixing it up with fixed wings, not to mention launching in the very early morning from a fly-in.
Here at Arlington, we do our early morning flights, and sometimes we're waking up some of the campers here. So when you ask about the mix, the fixed-wing pilots, they get busy around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and that's the time we're already in the air, and we're looking for a place to land. So for most part, we're usually out of the airport by then or away from the airport. So we try to keep our timing a little bit differently so that we don't interfere with all the air traffic here.
Nevertheless, it has to be taken into account that especially on a Saturday or a weekend day, there are going to be a lot of pilots coming in from outside the area, and some of them will not have read the NOTAM. Have there ever been any incidents that made you change plans, or has anybody been surprised?
Well, no. So far, we've had a pretty good relationship here. In the Arlington area, if you're familiar with this area, you'll know that we have this plane that goes all the way out to Puget Sound, and there's not very many topography breaks or trees or between here and the Puget Sound. So what happens in the evening, we'll get a little bit of drainage. And flying here in the evening, the winds actually pick up, which makes it hard for us to land. Flying in winds isn't too bad, but flying at fast speed is not desirable. So we don't do too many evening flights here, so there's usually not a conflict.
Now, Nightglow itself, is that a tethered, pretty much strictly a tethered event?
Yes, we'll put up right at sunset. We'll bring out our equipment, and we have a gasoline inflation fan. And we always say we inflate the balloons. We don't blow them up. Sometimes people say that, and no, we don't blow up our balloons. We inflate them. But our crew will be out there. Well, the process is we pull out the equipment and lays on its side. And we do all our checks, make sure the suspension cables and everything are connected. And then we start up our gasoline fans, which push cold air into the fabric part of the balloon, which is called an envelope. And as that gets bigger and bigger and bigger, pretty soon it's all full. And that's when we have can turn on the burner and put some heat in it. And then as the heat gathers in the balloon, it will go overhead. And during the night, the balloons light up like stained glass light bulbs. It's really kind of neat. Although I don't see too many night glows because I'm usually in the basket. What is different about the Arlington fly-in for a night glow event for a balloonist is when we do a night glow at other events, it tends to be in conjunction with the city festival. So you get general public there that doesn't have much knowledge about aviation, and they'll say, "Ooh, pretty," or "What's the fabric made of?" And when you're here at this event, there will be thousands of people around your balloon asking questions, and the questions are much different. What's your burn rate? Do you do weights and balances? You know, things like that. So it's a much different type of question and much different type of interest.
More in a moment with balloonist Larry Simberger. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Larry Simberger about flying hot air balloons. Just about every GA airport of any size has a sign on the fence that says, "Learn to fly here." There are college programs that'll take you from off the street to the right seat if you're looking for an airline job. But what's the path into the lighter-than-air sport?
I'd like to talk about the differences between how do you get into ballooning versus fixed wing. Fixed wing, you can go to most any small airport, and there'll be somebody there who can rent you a plane and get you some training. And ballooning is different in so much as there's not a large quantity of balloons that you can go to an airport and rent one. That is just not set up that way. Back in the 1980s, there was probably about 15,000 active balloonists. Today, there's only probably about 3,500 to 4,000 pilots active. And part of that reason is we're getting older. It's getting more expensive. And there are challenges. As areas get built up, you can't fly there anymore because you're landing in open fields and soccer fields, things like that. So you have to drive out into the countryside. So the difference isn't about the regulations. We still have the similar regulations. We have you need a student license, you need ground school, flight training, solo, written, oral, and practical exam. That's all the same. The difference is with it's harder to find an instructor. But also different about ballooning is with a commercial rating, you're also an instructor. So when you pass your commercial, you also have to pass a training ability to train private pilots and commercial pilots. So many pilots are commercial pilots. So there's the Part 141 schools. There's 21 around the nation. And then there's the commercial rated pilots. And oftentimes, it's the crew members that are part of that pilot's crew who eventually say, I'm willing to make the commitment and step up and be a pilot.
Do you have any aspirations to try out any other corners of aviation? Do you think you'll ever finally do the fixed wing thing?
I helped my son get his private lighter than air, and he's went on. He's got many more ratings. He's an air transport pilot. So I told him he owes me my private fixed wing. So he said he'd do that. For me, it is a little bit of a financial consideration. I do love flying. Flying in the Puget Sound area is beautiful. You get above 3,500, 4,000 feet, and you can see the San Juan Islands and Vancouver, and it's just wonderful sightseeing here flying. So I know I would like to do it. I just need to figure out how to pay for it.
All right. Well, Larry, we appreciate everything you've helped us out with here, and have a great event.
Well, thank you, Paul.
That event, by the way, was an amazing sight. I don't know how to describe the night below except to say I think I know now what the ants on my front lawn see when I'm testing Christmas lights. Larry Simberger is the Director of Balloon Operations for the Arlington Fly-In in Washington State. Find out more at www.arlingtonflyin.org. Arlington Fly-In as one word with no hyphen or other punctuation. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.